Well, that's certainly a change. Do we have something perhaps a little bit more up-tempo for side two? That's much better. Welcome back to the DX Audio Service for January 2008. Gary Burbank has retired from WLW in Cincinnati. We thought we'd give you some snippets from his last show, as well as air checks from when he was in Louisville and also New Orleans.
See, you say that, Will. I mean, nobody says, say it again, Duke. Hi! Perfect. That's what radio's
Sometimes
all about.
It's, how you doing? When you need to be personable, bring in the listener.
Yeah, yeah.
How you doing?
I'm talking pretty well.
And I'm talking to you. How are you doing?
Give me the I'm talking to you again.
I'm talking to you.
Notice the way he points how that finger? Doing? I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
You can only see him do it. let's see. John Phillips, this morning, I was like, you get up, you sleep, you get your coffee, and you sit down, you get the newspaper, you go through, and then one of the last things I do, I savor for the end, is my Jim Borgman cartoon.
No.
And but I had no idea, and I turn to the last page, and I look down, and I see Jim Borgman's cartoon. It says Broadbank Burbcasting in his cool little shack.
And then truck.
And the pickup truck with the TV on top.
And the cord coming down hooked up to the battery under the hood.
That's perfect.
That was perfect.
Jim must have been there at some point to know all of this. And then Earl Pitts in a hammock. And at the bottom, it just says Pitts off.
Perfect.
And I want to thank Jim. I've been a huge fan for many, many years. And one of my most cherished possessions is Jim Borgman was at the restaurant once. And they got him to do a cartoon. A few of the cartoon guys do a cartoon. And it was kind of a character of himself, and the balloon said, I'm happy that you can't draw. And I thought, that's the ultimate compliment good. Coming from a guy like Jim Borg. But Jim, if you can hear this, I've never met Jim.
Oh, really?
Not really.
He's been invited up many times.
I've met him a couple of times.
He's been invited up, and he's just...
He's busy, man. He's working all the time. The guy
really
works constantly,
and,
And then right after that, on the way to work today...
And this is his crunch time, too, he's told me.
Yeah, yeah. And on the way to work today, I look around, and I see this billboard. And I thought, I know that guy. But I kind of turned away, looked at traffic, and I went, oh, I know him because it's me. And I turned around and looked again, and that's when it went off. But I did say, good riddance, you something, right below it when it said that.
That's
like
huge.
That was cool.
Yeah, I don't know if you were just terribly embarrassed or if you really were speechless the day that Mike Redden and I landed at the nudist colony.
I wasn't embarrassed at all. I was.
It was the only time I think I caught you without something to come. We put that woman that was at the nudist camp on the air, and we gave her Mike's headphones.
Yeah.
And you said to her, well, now, what's John wearing? And she said, well, he's got his headphones on and his tennis shoes, and that's all. And you said, well, what about Mike? And she said, well, Mike, I'm wearing his headphones, and he's got his tennis shoes on, and he's wearing sunglasses, but he's not fooling anybody because we all know where he's looking.
I do remember that when you guys would land at the nudist colony.
Well, we were tired of everybody talking about it. We found the place. It was our nudist camp.
Well, no one believed there was a nudist colony.
Well,
and, you know, since then, didn't we? I got an award for
you are well-respected in the nudist community.
I'm a big
you were the nudist supporter. Yeah. You were the nudist and naturalist man of the year, I think, in 2005 and 2006.
I hadn't been at this station long when we did that, and I wasn't used to the idea of the big signal and getting out and everything. My parents living in Fort Wayne.
They heard that?
And I get a call that night from my mom. I heard you land this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Well, that was an impossible.
So we have to watch out for stuff like
that.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a look at traffic and weather. Come right back with traffic on a big one. Here's Chuck Ingram. Chuck.
I got an accident. That's on Kenwood at Zigzag and John Gray at Hamilton. There's slow traffic northbound 70.
I'm going to take that
ride. Is that us, guys? I think it is. How long has that been going on now?
Great.
All right. Thank you. I can't see. Seggy, give me a just yell from the door there, Seg. You're okay.
Hey, you're good.
Just yell from the door. You'll be fine. With sports on a big one, here is Seg Dennison. Go right ahead, Seg.
Gary, a 700 WLW Reds update. The Reds have traded Josh Hamilton to the Texas Rangers.
Okay, but wait. Okay, we hate to see him go.
The Reds are expected to announce this deal coming up here around 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Hamilton dealt to the Texas Rangers. For Edison Volquez, a couple of and Danielle Herrera, a couple of stud pitchers.
Stud pitchers. That's pretty good.
To the Reds for Josh Hamilton.
He didn't want to be in town anymore since you're leaving, Gary.
I think that's it.
Yeah,
you know, I think I saw him in the hallway. He couldn't get in the room, but he wanted to say goodbye, I think, a little earlier. Yeah.
And can I say a couple things?
Yes, you may
Please.
Say.
Sorry.
This is my final sportscast on your show. And calculating all this, I've come up with, this is probably my math, but it's probably wrong.
Your math is perfect for me.
Three a day, Monday through Friday, some 365 days a year, for a total of 5,475 a year. Over 20-plus years after taking over for the legend Andy Mack, this is close to 136,000 sportscasts, I think, over that time.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say thanks for allowing me to be a part, small part, of your radio genius.
You were never a small
part. It was indeed an honor to work with you over the years here at the Big One. It was an honor to be with you and Doc, and then Rob Duke and JD, all true pros in the radio business in every sense of the word. Thanks for the millions of laughs and smiles you put on people's faces that you never saw, that I saw out in public talking about the characters you introduced to the tri-state, like the synonymous Bengal, Reverend Deuteronomy Skaggs, Ludlow Bromley, Earl Pitts, Lars Peavy, Gilbert Gnarly, and many more. The radio magic you put on these airways for 27 years is something the tri-state will not forget. People don't know the hours you and Doc, along with Duke, Rob, and JD, put in behind the scenes to make the bits sound fantastic. You with a razor blade and a China marker were deadly. Thanks for saving me a Hardee's biscuit or two during the morning hours.
I remember those.
When I had no idea what I was doing. Playing a part in sports of consequences. And thanks for making Carvin Salvino and the Ebonite Gyro part of Tri-State Radio.
Carvin Salvino and the Ebonite Gyro.
Whether the sports was done here in the studio or down in the dugout, you made it very easy and very special.
Nuxall's office, you used to call it.
A guy, quite frankly, was scared to death at the beginning. You made me feel welcome each and every day. When you need Reds tickets, just call.
Hey, my boy, right there.
You're a radio legend, not to be forgotten. Gary and the BBC, thank you.
Thank you, Sage. Thank you. That means so much to me. I got to have a tape of that. I'll be playing that for a long time. Siggy, thank
Let's go back to Louisville in 1969, WAKY 790.
This case, Clearwater Revival, down on the corner on the big 79 with Gary Schmerbanger, one of them. This is Gary Burbank telling you, and only you, that this is Gary Burbank speaking to you through my mouth. And another thing, WAKY Iron Butterfly time is 4:31. That is Stone Soul Pickner, the super giant of the big 7-9.
That's you, Miss Hart.
Yes.
Would you give me a quarter for a sandwich?
Well, let me see the sandwich.
I hear it is.
Okay, thank you.
John W. Walker said he loved me.
W-A-K-Y. That's funny in itself. W-A-K-Y Iron Butterfly time is 25 to 5 o'clock.
And now, for Libby Pontiac Cadillac, here is Freddie Feelgood.
Oh, thank you.
Participating Ashland dealer right away.
The Iron Butterfly and the Exiles come to Freedom Hall November 23rd, and Wacky's got them.
Era's coming.
This program is being microfilmed for our funny spies overseas.
Hey.
And it's Three Dark Night, Eli and a cup.
W-A-K-Y.
W-A-K-Y, Iron Butterfly time, 22 to 5 o'clock.
What kind of man wears bravura?
Man who hears a different drummer drumming.
Bravura, aftershave and cologne.
Michael Summers, WAKY News. This news, a service of the Louisville Gas and Electric Company. Airport weather rainy, operations normal. Michael Summers, WAKY News.
Gary Burbank, WAKY Music. That's that great song entitled, From the Bathroom of Your Love, I've Been Flushed. Coaches!
5 years later, WNOE in New Orleans, Louisiana.
7:37, the morning mouth, Gary Burbank, and here's another useless Burbank almanac fact. When at rest, a canary's heart beats 1,100 times per minute.
Wow!
When excited, a canary explodes.
Hot weather is here,
you just
and
did that.
Kirschman's can show you how to beat the heat.
Wonderful, I see.
Foreign ministers in Washington today. I'm Lynn King.
And now, time for news commentary. Our news commentary, as always, is Bass Ackman.
Well, it's time now for speaking of sports. And to those of you, I know a lot of us are sitting around saying, well, next year is the first good year for the Saints, and it could be possible. We could just have a great football team. But I would like to caution you against getting your hopes too high for the Saints. As it happened in the mind of John North yesterday, there was a scrimmage held, and the outcome of the scrimmage was the Saints nothing, the tackling dummies 14.
Aww.
That's what everybody says. That's where it is. News commentary. I am Bass Ackwards.
You certainly are. I am Gary Burbank.
And guess what?
I certainly am.
You certainly are.
Say 13 past 8 o'clock in Gary Burbank, the Morning Mouth. Now, here is today's helpful hint from the helpful soul, Thelma Hooch.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Good morning. This morning, I'd like to urge you, this is a health tip. Bicycle riding is so good for your health. For instance, it's so easy, too. You have a bicycle and take off. For instance, now, if you want to ride, this would be great for you. If you'd like to ride, say, 10 hours a day, only 10 hours a day, the only preparation you're going to need is Preparation H.
Well, thank you.
And the amazing thing is, Gary does all those voices by himself. Gary Burbank, welcome to retirement. That's our market scope. Now, musings to the members.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors.
Hi, this is Don Finney in Miami, Florida. I have a question that may be thought of, the answer may be thought obvious, but I, in my opinion, don't think it's so obvious. Do a lot of people listen to radio today as compared before the Internet was existing?
DXers, Josh Owens calling from Ruston, Louisiana on the 5th of December with a question for Fred. I noticed at the end of the December tape with the montage of jingles that there was one from WCBX. Could that have possibly been My Old Stomping Grounds of WCBX in Eden, North Carolina? Just curious about that. From 1130 on your ancient modulation dial. Happy New Year. Bye for now.
Hello, DX Audio Service members. This is Lucille Burkhart from Little Rock, Arkansas. As of November 29th, and talk about radio being bad. Well, I don't quite agree with that because I found a really good FM station. It is 106.7. They call it the Wolf, but its actual call letters are KNHN, and they play music that you probably wouldn't hear anywhere else. That is my muse for now. Happy holidays.
Hello to everyone on the DX Audio Service. This is Dale Ham calling from Kansas City, Missouri, Jackson County, Missouri. I quite frequently listen to 780 WBBM Chicago. I notice that I get some interference, not really that kind of interference, but I hear a Spanish music station also on 780, and not knowing Spanish fluently, I'd like to know from some of the members or Mark Nierenberger where that 780 station and music Spanish is located. Thank you.
Hi, it's Jerry Peterson calling from Bonita, California. I was in New Orleans, Louisiana, over the Thanksgiving holiday, and I drove by where I used to see the four towers in the water for WTIX 690. That's in Chalmette on Paris Road. I drove by this time, and there's only one tower there, and it's not in the water. I understand that their transmitter site was knocked out by Hurricane Katrina, but my question is, does anybody know if the 690 in New Orleans, now known as WIST, is broadcasting temporarily non-directional? And if you know if they're non-directional, could you also tell me what you think their power is day and night? Where we were staying in downtown New Orleans, they had a good signal both day and night. We were about 7 miles away from their transmitter. Any info would be appreciated. Thank you and Happy New Year.
Hello, this is Mike Terry calling from Bournemouth in southern England. I signed up to the audio tape online version recently, $15, excellent value for the year. A question, please. Bill Hale's AM switch, really interesting. Lots of terms, CP, D1, D3, D4. I've managed to find out what some of them are, but it'd be really useful just to have a brief explanation from Bill of... Or another person, how these actually work in the US, because we don't have anything like that in the UK. Thanks for a great program. I love it every month. Really good. 73s from across the pond. Bye.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Gary Burbank is retiring this Friday, December 21st, from WLW. After many years there, I knew him when I lived in Cincinnati. Before that, he also served time on other big stations like WHAS Louisville, CKLW Windsor, and CHFI Toronto. Another retirement happened recently. Dave Quinn did sports on the CFRB in Toronto for 18 years, and the last weekend in November, he moved on. Also, a pickup that I got on 550, this was a surprise, WSVA, Harrisonburg, Virginia. I tuned into WGR Buffalo one day to hear the Rome Report, and that came up. So I wish everybody a lot of good DXing in the coming year and hope to visit with everybody at our convention again in 2008.
Hi, Fred. This is Don Finney in Miami, Florida. I want to thank you very, very much for those jingles. That's the best thing I've ever heard on the DX audio service. A lot of it is great, but this is absolutely phenomenal. And I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. And it was great. And I'm sure I'll get some more, but if I don't get another audio service tape, after this, it doesn't matter. Oh, that was great. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Ken Anastruck, Lockport, Illinois. If anyone in the Houston area can pick up 610 KILT, I'd appreciate a tape. I read in the Chicago Tribune this morning that Rockets broadcasters Gene Peterson and Jim Foley are retiring after this year. I would like to get a tape of their broadcast if it's possible. You can ring me at 815-838-2179. I'd like to hear from you. Thank you very much, and Caesar's greetings. Bye-bye.
Well, let's answer some of the questions on our Musings to the Members line, starting out with whether or not the Internet has hurt radio. I think it's no surprise that radio has been hurt a little bit by the Internet, but I think it's been mostly downloads and programs on iPods that have done the most damage and not actually streaming radio. However, you do get a little bit of listening of radio on streams and stuff. Personally, I do none. I don't know of anyone who does. And, of course, the big issue is I can't listen to the Internet in the car. So I guess perhaps it has hurt a little bit, and the stations it has hurt are the ones which have become more or less homogenized. Josh Owen asked a question about WCBX. That call sign has been passed around a lot, so I'm not sure if that is the call sign of the station you're speaking of. To Dale Hamm, I looked through the National Radio Club's AM log, and I didn't see anything that actually stood out as far as a Spanish station, so hopefully maybe some of the DX Audio Service members can solve that, though it might be Cuba. I've known them to kind of sneak up here a few times in the past. Concerning the 690 station in New Orleans, I do show that WIST, I believe it is, that station has gone to a one-tower configuration, and I still see on the FCC website some reference to the old four-tower site. That radio station, according to the last bit of information I have, shows it at 8 kilowatts daytime and 2 kilowatts at night. And to Mike Terry, I'm going to let Bill Hale answer that question. So, Buffalo Bill, you might want to come in here for a second.
Mike, it's good to hear from you. I'll try to give a brief explanation of what the letter and number combinations mean. Unlike your stations in Great Britain, which operate day and night with the same power levels and are all probably omnidirectional, we in here in North America have a different set of rules. And believe me, things get a bit messy when dealing with all of the different combinations when regarding station operation. The letter number combinations refer to the time of day stations operate and whether or not they must use a directional pattern. A pattern is used to protect stations on the same and adjacent frequencies. Altogether, we, and I'm speaking for the National Radio Club only, have over 20 combinations of antenna designations, and time here limits going over all of them, but I'll cover the basic combinations, which we hear most often. All of the combinations begin with the letter D or U, and in a rare case, N or an L. I'd guess that today 95% of the stations are designated U as they operate unlimited time, or during the day and at night. There are a few stations which are limited to daytime operation. Those are designated with a D. There are one or two which operate at night only, which designated N, and a couple of which are tagged as L for limited time. If a station operates on limited time and is omnidirectional, we designate as U1. The one means non-directional in all cases. U2 means they operate on limited time but use a directional pattern during nighttime hours. U3 means they operate on limited time using the same pattern all times. U4 means they use one pattern during the day and another at night. If you hear D1, that means the station is a daytimer using one tower, thus a virtual non-directional signal. D3 means a daytime-only station using two or more towers to form a directional pattern. I'd guess that over 90% of the stations in Canada and the United States are either U1, U2, U3, or U4. When I give the antenna designation on the AM switch column, I try to explain the designation the first time it's heard. Then, as new combinations come up, I'll explain those. I'd be glad to send you or anyone else a complete set of letter number combinations via email. Once again, here's my email address, w_r_hale@sbcglobal.net. That's w_r_hale@sbcglobal.net.
Thanks, Bill. And we had a few comments on the Musings to the Members line regarding where the convention is going to be next year. And at the present time, I simply do not have a read on that. So we don't know where it's going to be or what time of the year it's going to be held. But if you just hang loose, I'm sure the National Radio Club's Board of Directors will come out with a statement in the near future. And as soon as we hear it, we'll pass it on to you, the membership, and let you know about it. Also, I had a couple comments from members who called me up that asked whether or not WNRC is ever going to come back to a convention again. Well, that's really up to you, the membership. The last couple times we have not done it, and that's only been because nobody really wanted to help. Let me put it to you this way. If you are the person who has to put together the parties and you have to buy all the drinks and you have to buy all the chips while you sit there and watch other people eat and drink all night, it's not that much fun. But it's more fun when you have people participate. If they come to your party and they help you pick up after the party's done, and if they put the plates out and pour the drinks and stuff. That's all I'm asking about for WNRC. Just if you help out a little bit, maybe you know somebody with some jingles that can help us out with some jingles and some production and maybe some music and things. Just help us out a little bit, because in the past, it's been a lot of work. I would say about 240 hours going to preparation before the convention. So if you'd like to have the station there at the convention again, why not help out a little bit? That's all I ask.
Hello, DXers. Ken Anischuk here, Lockport, Illinois, southwest of Chicagoland. And we have had a couple radio station changes in the past week, late November. 820 WAIT, their programming of relevant radio, Catholic programming, moved to 950 WNTD so they could enjoy full-time power. 1,000 watts daytime signal makes it about 100 miles in all directions from near downtown Chicago. But the night power of 5,000 watts from a 6-tower array in south suburban Burnham goes almost straight north, covering Chicago up to Milwaukee, although I can hear it at sunset a bit here. And 850 WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk, licensed to northwest suburban Crystal Lake, moved their programming to 820. They were bragging about getting twice as much power, but it's really not that much stronger, as Bill Dvorak, our DDXD editor, can attest to. It's a nice signal at 5,000 watts, 9 directional, till sunset at WBAP. And what will go on 850? Well, the folks at NewsWeb are asking people to put their brokered programming on. And they're giving a 773 Chicago area code saying, hey, put your programming on us. And that's that. And 2,500 watts, they should get out pretty good. Anyway, this month is the end of the year. So I figured this time around, I found this column in the Daily Southtown by my buddy Tim Cronin, who's a staff writer. And it's a little bit about sports history, like I mentioned before, and I figure this time was kind of quiet. I figure I'd fill you in on some past history, but it does involve football. It's not like the old days, only we're so easy. In the era of 900 cable channels, finding your team's game can be a little too tough on Sunday, December 2nd. Because the Bears are playing, Chicagoans without access to the NFL Network, and that's most of us, can also watch on Channel 50, which is WPWR, technically, for the NFL is wise enough to make sure fans in the cities of the teams, Chicago and Washington, can still see their team. But the other seven games of the package, which began Thanksgiving night, are available here only on the NFL Network, which generally is available only on a sports tier. With Comcast, you have to have digital cable, then subscribe to the applicable tier to get that network and a number of other channels. No big deal, huh? Given the multiplicity of sports on TV these days? Well, Packer fans outside Green Bay and Milwaukee have something to say Thursday when Packers and Cowboys game was an NFL Network choice. And you might be saying something else on December 29th, the final weekend of this regular season, if the New England Patriots are still undefeated. That would be one of the biggest NFL regular season games in history, but outside Boston and New York, available only on the NFL Network, which is available only in less than 40% of TV homes. Is this is where TV sports is going? Available only to those who are willing to pay? The short answer is not only yes, but it's where sports has been going for 25 years. Only now the trend is accelerating. Well, for those outside the country, give you a little Chicago sports history, and if you have other similar, pass it on to me, and I'll be glad to put it on here. To understand where we're going, in Chicago, sports on TV began 1946 on Channel 4 WBKB. They televised a Cubs game from Wrigley Field in June of that year, as well as pro golf from Tam O'Shanter using just one camera. Can you imagine what that looked like? In 1947, WBKB was showing portions of Blackhawk games from the Chicago Stadium and Notre Dame football games live from their stadium, which was a technical achievement. Well, let's fast forward 13 years to 1960. From the first week of December, the 4th and the 10th, there were three live sports events in Chicago, if that would amaze you. They got here an American Football League game, which was Houston and Dallas. Today, those teams are Tennessee and Kansas City. On ABC on Sunday, an NFL game, Green Bay, San Francisco, on CBS on Saturday, and a welterweight fight on ABC Sunday. That was it. Oh, and if time permitted after the prize fight, let's make that spare a bowling show with Johnny Johnston, one of six bowling shows during the course of the week. Missing was a Sunday afternoon NFL game. There wasn't any. Not with the Bears at Soldier Field. Not only was that game blacked out, luckily viewers might pull it in from South Bend or Rockford on UHF TV or Channel 12 Milwaukee, or an NFL telecast couldn't be imported. Wow. If you wanted to watch pro football, you had to watch the fledgling AFL, and that brought the pass-happy newcomers to plenty of fans by default. Through much of the 60s, it didn't change much, except for the NFL showing an out-of-town game to be shown while the Bears were at home. There was one college football game a week in the fall, one Big Ten basketball game a week in the winter, and the Blackhawks began to appear from other towns on Channel 9 Saturday nights. Summer was Nirvana, with Cubs live home games and about 50 Sox games from near and far. The emergence of UHF TV brought more sports in the 70s, and cable did the same in the 80s. In 1982, when Sports Vision debuted as a scrambled pay-per-view service, a new twist was added. The regional sports channel had come to town. Several owners had one relaunched later, and that was known as Comcast Sportsnet. Jim Cornell, president of it, and boss when it was first known as Sports Channel and then Fox Sportsnet Chicago, said, "I think there's an appetite for even more sports programming." He says, "You're seeing more high school games televised and not just the title games. The Big Ten Network started, and I can easily see more conference channels. If you look at what's on TV now, sports is the best reality TV. It's something you don't want to miss. That has value to advertisers, and you're not going to watch it 4 days later. You want to watch it now." This week is a far cry from 1960. You can't count all the telecasts. You can barely count all the channels. The big four networks fill up weekend afternoons with sports. Just using Comcast Menu, you can, for a price, have access to 21 sports-specific networks, from basic cable staples ESPN and Comcast Sportsnet to the Tennis Channel and the NHL Network, which, like a cold front, started in Canada and arrived in the United States. The Baseball Channel is set to start in 09. Not enough? That total doesn't include the full season packages for pro basketball, hockey, baseball, soccer, college football, and college basketball, which offer thousands of games throughout the year. The NFL's Pioneer CML package, Sunday Ticket, is available only on DirecTV in the United States. The Big Ten Network, like its professional cousin, league cousins specific to its conference, is not on Comcast thanks to a year-long scrap pitting basic cable access, which the Big Ten wants, to the tier concept which Comcast promotes. Simply put, the Big Ten wants access to more viewers, and the cable giant wants more people to sign up for its sports tier. Well, for some time in October, Comcast even put a slide on Channel 255, reserved for Big Ten Network. From deals with DirecTV and Dish Network, plus smaller cable systems, the Big Ten Network is available to more than 30 million homes, enough to satisfy advertisers, but not the blanket coverage the conference and co-owner Fox Sports Network hopes for. In time, that should come. If the revenue builds as the conference expects, other college leagues will join the bandwagon. Actually, the Mountain West Conference was the first, but offered only regionally, whereas the Big Ten Network is available nationally. Imagine how popular the Southeast Conference Network would be in the Deep South during the football season, or the basketball-crazy Big East Network during basketball season. The migration of sports from over-the-air TV to cable and all of its incarcerations has been going on for about 30 years now, and there's no end in sight. Most of the time, what moved is regular season coverage. But last fall's baseball playoffs saw the first round of the National League title series exclusively on cable channel TBS. That meant Cub fans, without cable, couldn't see their team play Arizona in the first round. TBS chose to pay Major League Baseball for that exclusivity rather than allow the local station to carry their home team games. Cornell said TBS and baseball knew that going in, and I think bigger events are always going to be available to the masses. If the World Series and the Super Bowl stay on free TV, much of the rest may not. The latest channel is team-specific channel, like Leafs TV, dedicated to the fortunes of Toronto Maple Leafs hockey, which is available in most of Ontario, Canada. It carries 20 of the 82 games in the season, filling the rest of the calendar year with replays, talk shows, highlights, and documentaries under the slogan, "The Passion Which Unites Us All." Leafs president Richard Petty told reporters when the channel started in 01, "This isn't the stamp collecting channel or Azalea channel. We think this channel will appeal to more than just your hardcore sports fans. Could it be a Cubs channel someday?" He says, "Absolutely, you could see that. If it's a unique, original, cost-effective programming, why not? There are people who go to the ballpark early just to watch batting practice. Heck, during the Cubs-Sox series, we televised it. It's nice to have those options. For the most part, they will come at a price. But Thursday night, you can watch the Bears for free. And we thanks to Tim Cronin for that article and for the DX Audio Service. Happy holidays, and I'll talk to you again soon. So long for now.
It's time now to take a look at the CPC tests for this edition of the DX Audio Service. There are two tests that we have scheduled for the month of January 2008. The first test is from my hometown, WIMA 1150 in Lima, Ohio. We'll conduct a DX test on Saturday morning. That's late Friday night, Saturday morning, January 5th, 2008. The time will be from 2 to 2:30 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 7 to 7:30 UTC. Modes of operation will be 1,000 watts using the non-directional antenna. Programming will consist of special voice announcements by yours truly and music of the Ohio State Marching Band, Morse code, and 1,000 hertz tones. No EQSL service is being offered for this test. Recordings can be made on MP3 or WAV file and will be accepted as proof of reception. Email reception reports may also be submitted to Lima Engineering, all one word, at clearchannel.com. Reception reports may be sent to WIMA Radio, attention Lima Engineering, 667 West Market Street, Lima, Ohio, 45801. More information is available on the DX Test Info site, but let's move on to our second test, which is KKMO 1360 in Seattle, Washington. It will conduct a DX test on Sunday morning, late Saturday night, January 13th. This test will be scheduled from 12 until 12:15 a.m. Pacific Time. That's 8 to 8:15 UTC. Modes of operation will be 5,000 watts using a non-directional antenna pattern. Programming from 12 to 12:10 a.m., that's Pacific Standard Time, by the way, will consist of 1,000 hertz tone at 0 dB. From 12:11 to 12:15 a.m. Pacific Time, programming will consist of college football marching songs. No Morse code or sweep tones are scheduled at this time. But if changes happen, you might want to monitor the DX Test Info site. No EQSL service is being offered for this test. Recordings on disk or in MP3 or WAV format will be accepted as proof of reception. Email reception reports may also be submitted to Monty P, that's M-O-N-T-E-P, at KGNW.com. Reception reports may also be sent to KKMO Radio. Attention, Mr. Monty Passmore, P-A-S-S-M-O-R-E, Chief Engineer, 2201 6th Avenue, Suite 1500, Seattle, Washington, 98121. And that's our CPC test for this edition of the DX Audio Service. Okay, we had a lot of people comment about the jingles last month, so why don't we just wrap it up this month with the same thing. Enjoy.
WKIX, Channel 85. WIBC, Indianapolis. The Big One. WXLW Indianapolis.
WNDE
Indianapolis.
Big Cliff.
KLIF. The Big 88. WKPX.
The number one sound of the week. The top 40 topper on Radio 580, Channel 1310.
Radio One.
Radio One.
Stereo 101, KHJ FM, Los Angeles.
Hit Parade 68. Great music, WPLR, New Haven.
Lucky 13 WABZ for the New Haven.
Here's yours truly, 1520 Radio 1KB with the weather.
We're having a listen here.
WVOR 100.5 Rochester.
Wonderful KGMB Honolulu.
Carl Honolulu, Channel 65. Happy holiday.
We want you to know Kula Radio is the cream of the crop, on its way to the top, with the best in music just for you. KULA dial 690.
1220 WGAR, 50,000 watts. 1260 WNBR in Syracuse. Swinging Radio England, where there's action.
KILT 610, the big one, tops in Houston.
You're within radio.
You're within radio, Guadalajara.
Earl of the West, Earl of the West. 89 WLS.
Zones. Hear how personality sounds. WLS. Zones. In Chicago.
CKPT. CJJD. 1350. CKAR Motor City. Da 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 da. CJOY in Guelph.
There's another year behind you. There's a bright new year ahead.
thinking about the things you want to do.
A little something for John Bowker to wrap up this edition of the DX Audio Service. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Remember, get out and support radio.
For the holidays and all the days, you'll never be alone. 'Cause KNBR 68 feels a lot like home.